These readings today are obviously about hard heart. The Lord tells Jeremiah, they're not going to listen. Go. You say, this is the nation that does not listen to the voice of Adonai, their God, or take correction. Now, if you look at the state of the church today, we're in the same boat. When you realize, not only has the Lord sent prophet after prophet, Mother Teresa, John Paul II, Padre Pio, but the Mother of God herself has come down from heaven. I didn't even try to count the times in the last 100 years. To speak to us about repentance, praying, fasting. Because if we, who have been so blessed, are so stupid, what about the rest of the world who doesn't have our chances? They depend upon us to get it and to show it, and then they'll get it. That's God's providence. So this is a, you know, quite a text that we read, you see, this morning. Help us to be ready to celebrate the great Paschal mysteries. Make our love grow each day. Well, if you ever met anybody really holy, you see the way they love God. And they're sensitive to Him. They obey Him. The fathers of the church have a terrifying axiom. The punishment for sin is sin. And so we can get harder and harder and harder and harder until we can hardly hear Him. Now, what do we say about that? Well, first we've got to examine our conscience. Did I hear the Lord talk to me yesterday and not do it? Or have I gotten so hard I can't even hear Him anymore? Hopefully the first. After all, here we are out in church early in the morning. Something must be going right. But you see, here's God saying to Jeremiah, when you speak all these words to them, they will not listen to you either. And when you call to them, they will not answer to you. Terrifying. And when you think, you know, in our midst right now, our present Pope has many prophetic words. Now they're offered, you know, he's an intellectual. They're offered in a balanced, peaceful way. They're not like some of Jeremiah's words, but they are prophetic words. You know? And so we can look and say, you know, a lot of the church is not paying attention. There's a lot of corruption in the church. So what are we going to do about it? Go beat up all the bishops? No. Listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Now, I don't mean get nervous, you know. The Lord is God. He knows how stupid we are and how lazy. You know, He may speak to us. I used to use the example of our Lord. He would probably hit out 100 grounders in our direction. You know how in baseball practice, you know, the coach hits out grounders one after the other. Okay, probably hit out about 100 grounders. We see about 40. We field about 10. And yet, He keeps at it because of His incredible love. But boy, does He ever like it when somebody starts to see 40 and feel 35 and start to see another 10. And He loves that. That's somebody after His own heart. Somebody He can talk to. And you know, I'm not trying to get everybody scrupulous, but listen. Listen. This is personal. I don't know why the Lord did this. One year, the community gave me for my birthday or something a really nifty leather jacket. It kept me warm. It was really nice. And one morning, I woke up, and I'm telling you, the Lord said, give away that jacket. But I knew there were big stakes there. So right away, I picked up the jacket, walked across, and threw it in the Mrs. DePaul box, you know, before I could hesitate. Now, why did he want that? Well, maybe somebody else needed the jacket more than I do. But it was also, look, my little friend, you got to wise up. This whole world is bathed in darkness. I feed you on my body and blood every day. And if you're so dumb you can't come, you better break up. I have not got a lot of time. Now, the urgency is an urgency of love, not fear or anger. But, you know, I think of that that terrifying principle. It's right there in Aquinas, and he's quoting the fathers of the church. The punishment for sin is sin. So the punishment for opening up all the stores on Sunday is greed. The punishment for what goes on that television is slavery to lust, deeper and deeper and deeper into lust. Now, who's going to get everybody out of it? I hate to tell you. Us. And you say, the Lord could have done better than this. He sure could. He sure could. But here we are. And he loves us. And through our poor, weak, stumbling efforts to be faithful, he can bathe this world in light. And so, I think the first response, you see, is to pray, to fast, to listen to the Lord, and do those little things in the day. Don't call up so-and-so. You just want to chat and waste time. Little things. Turn off the radio and pray when you're in the car. These tiny things. Do them. You see? That's how we grow up. And learn to do the big ones. Because you see, what will heal the world is not anger, it's love. Look at our Lord in this text. I gotta quit. But look at our Lord in this text. They're telling everybody that he's driving out demons in the power of the devil. That, according to Mark, is the sin against the Holy Spirit. That's how hard they are. To call divine work the work of the devil. That's the sin against the Holy Spirit, according to Mark. Okay. And so, you see, we've got this hardness. But they obeyed not, nor did they pay heed. They walked in the hardness of their evil hearts, and they turned their backs, not their faces, to me. Say to them, this is the nation that does not listen to the voice of the Lord its God, or take correction. Now, when these guys are trying to say that Jesus is driving out devils in the power of the devil himself, you've got to have a pretty hard heart. How does he answer them? Think about it, fellas. Every kingdom that's divided, if I'm working for the devil and you're working for the devil and we're against each other, then the kingdom is done. He's arguing with them. He's appealing to their minds. Get smart. And if that's not enough, how about your own people? How do they drive out demons? the mercy. You know, you'd think he would call down thunderbolts. He's mercy. Arguing with them. Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste. And if Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? The Jews were famous in this time in the Mediterranean basins for driving out demons. They were quite famous for it. They're the only ones who knew God. You see? And then he gives them a hint. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his palace, he's safe. Unless a stronger one comes along and plunders him. And Jesus is saying, I'm the stronger one. And it began in the desert, right after my baptism. And I have bound him and I'm plundering him. And if you will listen to me, we can clean him right out. I got to quit, but I have to tell you this. There's a friend of mine, who's a priest up in Boston, in the Boston area. And there's all kinds of witches and stuff in his parish. I mean, like really bad. And, you know, occult symbols being put in the church. And it's pretty nasty. Well, this friend of mine, woman, her father was a boxer. And she has great gifts for discernment. So she could discern the spirits and tell the priest to drive them out, you know. So she got five priests. And I know these five guys. They're all guys who shoot from the hip. They have such an exorcism ministry out in the middle of nowhere in North Dakota that they're sending thousands to them. So she got the whole five of them. She said, we're going down to Jose's church and we're going to clean that place out. Now that's faith. We're going to clean that place out. And they did. So what am I saying? The key to helping the church is not to stand up and make like Savonarola. It's to give your heart to Christ and to obey him, listen to him. Don't get hard at the edges so he can't talk to you.